This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Daily Digest on the Bigger Picture this Monday afternoon. I'm Tishao Eek with Kelly Anisa and Lim Soo Ann in the studio, and we have two stories for you today.
If you know an elderly person who is a little too gullible to scams, that might be an early sign of a medical condition. Stay tuned to find out more about that.
And in our second story, sex education is in everyone's interest, but many countries do not introduce sex education to children. We'll be looking at some examples from around the world.
And on Twitter, we're asking you, should sex education be taught to children in schools? Your options are yes, no, only in secondary, or teach only abstinence. So you can join in the conversation and share your thoughts with us on BFM Radio on Twitter. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899, or you can call us at 03-7733-2900.
Meanwhile, here's Elvis Costello with Veronica.
The Bigger Picture on BFM 89.9, the business station.
That was Elvis Costello with Veronica. And if you're familiar with that song, you'll know it was inspired by Costello's grandmother who had Alzheimer's. So what's the connection with our first story today, Kelly?
So a new study suggests that seniors who are gullible towards scams might also be at risk for eventually developing Alzheimer's disease. So, but you know, to those of you who may have fallen prey to this before, you do not necessarily have to worry, because not all victims eventually get Alzheimer's. So scientists know that long before the memory problems of Alzheimer's, before the disease kicks in, patients tend to experience more subtle changes in the way that they think, and this can be reflected in their judgment. So the lead author of the study, Professor Patricia Boyle, wondered if this lapse of judgment is what makes a person more vulnerable to scams.
So the study involved 935 seniors, mostly in their 70s and 80s, with no known brain-related conditions. And these seniors were then enrolled in a long-running memory and aging project in Chicago. They took a scam awareness questionnaire and underwent yearly brain tests for an average of 6 years.
During the study, 151 seniors were diagnosed with Alzheimer's and another 255 with mild cognitive impairment, and that's usually a precursor for Alzheimer's. And the participants who had low scam awareness at the start of the study, low scam awareness meaning that they showed that they were more likely to fall for scams, they were more likely to have developed cognitive impairment and Alzheimer's at the end of it. So this was done in comparison to seniors who, in contrast, were more aware of scam vulnerability.
And as for the 264 participants who died during the study, they underwent a brain autopsies. And sure enough, the lower the scam awareness at the study's start, the more people had a buildup of sticky plaque in their brains, which is also an indicator for Alzheimer's. So I spoke to Professor Dr. Shahrul Bahya Kamaruzaman, a consultant geriatrician, about the findings earlier today. Here is a clip from the interview. With the findings of this study and what they suggest, why do you think it's, is it significant?
Well, I think it's significant for all older people who are of a certain generation where a lot of financial dealings, interactions with bank, with investments, etc., were built on trust and faith. And the banking system from that generation to now has sort of increased tremendously in terms of different ways in which you can do your financial interactions. So having and engaging older people in terms of how they manage their finances, financial literacy, how they interact with banks and banking officials, I think that will probably need a little bit more support with regards to I think the digital technology that has come hand in hand with all our financial interactions. Everything is at the end of the phone, whereas an older person who's, way of, I can only relate back to my own parents, they may not want to carry an ATM card because they mistrust that system, because they prefer, a person to engage with. They prefer to look at the, the hard copy of what they're signing, etc. So when it comes to this sort of research, which sort of says scams are for older people, I think older people in general who have engaged and interacted with financial institutions when dealing with their own money, investments, etc., in a different way to what is currently available, may have certain fears and could be susceptible to these sort of scams where, you know, an automated voice, etc., or a banking official calling, identity theft, you know, entertainment over the phone with regards to, you know, personal information, etc. Mm-hmm. So all that is something an older person might be susceptible to. However, there are certain groups of older people who may have cognitive impairment, memory issues, who may have certain fears, insecurities, etc., maybe some delusions with regards to, you know, people taking their money, etc. So if a person or a scammer knows of this, this might put them in greater danger.
Right. And you mentioned financial literacy earlier. So yeah. There was research done previously that suggested that financial literacy declines with age. And while this, you know, this was done on elderly people in the United States, do you think that this is the case in general, like even here, with the patients you see, is this something you've noticed?
Well, the patients I see certainly are sort of a special group who do actually have cognitive problems. So, you know, I think it's not so much of the fact that it's declined, but their ability to discriminate between a scam or something that's legitimate, I think may be impaired, especially if you've got memory issues, if you are unable to physically make it to the bank. So there is a trust of the system that would protect them. So therefore, you know, on both parts, you know, where the family, the patient themselves, or even the financial institutions that sort of, or, you know, monitoring the interactions, need to sort of also be aware that there are certain flexibilities that need to be taken into, especially with people who may not be so in control of their finances. So financial literacy, I think it's something that should be made available to all, young and old. It doesn't go down as you go older, per se, but in certain conditions where you have memory issues, ability to remember certain things, codes, bank PIN numbers, etc., where the, you know, the system of banking has changed to such a digital platform that this leaves older people behind. And it's not just older people, it may be people with hearing or visual impairments,
yeah.
Physical impairments to try and get to a bank, online platforms, you know, financial of lower socioeconomic background, so having to deal with, you know, paying things online. I think the systems that are in place do take that into consideration. However, you know, as you get older, this with not just the memory issues but physical impairments that might affect the interaction between them, it does bear, you know, it warrants a bit of attention and care so that, you know, people are not susceptible or vulnerable to such scams.
And, you know, when I was reading up on this, there was, I came across a few links online where people were suggesting that perhaps parents, you know, as they get older, have this talk with their young children about what to do as they get older when it comes to their finances. So some of them were even talking about giving up autonomy over their finances. Do you agree with this course of action?
I don't think most older people would agree with that. I think autonomy, control over one's own finances and independence should be retained for as long as you live. However, in certain vulnerable states where memory is an issue, etc., there still needs to be a certain respect of autonomy for the older person. If they can't physically get to the bank, if they may forget certain, you know, the system does not support slightly impaired memory, etc., that kind of, I suppose, where families who are concerned about the older person's finances and how they are taking care of it, perhaps should have a frank, honest discussion with their parent or their loved one and sort of find out what the barriers to them maintaining their own accounts and how are they doing. I think that's the first step that should take place. And then if there are sort of major worries about that, then next step is for the family to actually make sure that the older person's health is in order. And that sort of incorporates not just the physical health, but also, you know, an assessment of memory, etc. And then when that's been objectively made, that assessment, then a further discussion with the patient needs to take place on a more a serious nature.
That was Professor That was Professor Dr. Cheryl Kamarzaman, a consultant geriatrician. So fraud syndicates are getting more creative these days, you know, with their in terms of their methods. Mm-hmm. Imposters often try to make themselves seem more credible by using bank account details, names of high-ranking officers, or, you know, other names to convince victims to follow their instructions. Yeah, yeah. So to ensure that their calls sound legitimate, scammers are actually given training before they are assigned to conduct telephone scams.
And it's a whole operation, you know.
Yeah.
They like rent out offices and shop lots, and they like set up an entire, you know, it's almost like a legitimate operation, except it's not.
And just the data available to them alone enables them to be all that more convincing.
Yeah, and just this year alone, there were some reports about elderly individuals being scammed right here in Malaysia. So an 84-year-old retired schoolteacher lost 120,000 ringgit in savings to a scam syndicate. So she received a call telling her that her telephone line would be terminated in 2 hours due to her involvement in online gambling.
Mm.
And she denied her involvement, but she was then connected to another person posing as a policeman, and then to another third person, allegedly from Bank Negara Malaysia. And they actually instructed her to transfer all her money to an account number.
Yeah, so the modus operandi of masquerading as people in authority, that's how they do it. So in another case, a 66-year-old woman lost 10,000 ringgit after receiving a fake call by men masquerading as police officers. And late last year in December, a 60-year-old retiree was cheated into transferring 230,000 ringgit to a scam syndicate. This was after she was told via a phone call that she owed the Inland Revenue Board a huge amount in tax arrears. And, you know, there are lots of other types of scams that target the elderly using lottery or, like, trying to sell fake anti-aging products and getting you to, like, give them money to purchase it, but you don't get the products in the end.
Yeah.
Or sweetheart scams, right? Targeting, I think, lonely older people and pretending to be someone to strike up a relationship with them. And free vacations. I mean, who doesn't like the idea of a free prize or you've won something in this lucky draw, and it's easy for the vulnerable people to fall for that.
Yeah, and then there is also that barrier when it comes to their digital literacy as well, especially when you're online on social media. Like for us, I think because we read about it so often, we tend to pick up on something suspicious, whereas with them, they may not notice these red flags that they see.
Mm.
So researchers have previously found that almost a third of elderly victims of fraud have been too embarrassed to tell their own families or friends what happened to them.
Mm.
So a report from the Centre for Counter-Fraud Studies in the UK, warns of the stigma felt by the by elderly people about being cheated, including online scams.
I mean, you know, it's one thing to say that it's the elderly, but I mean, I've received these phone calls as well. I think the one that's called the Macau scam.
Yeah,
I've been targeted by them before, and they are very convincing. I'll admit, I got halfway through the call before I realized what it was. You know.
And I myself was almost scammed once, and I think it was then where I realized that, you know, it's so much easier, for example, when I'm just sitting behind a computer screen and just wondering how can people just get scammed like that. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's so obvious. But being, almost getting scammed myself, they are so convincing. I mean, they knew what number to call, and they had your full name. And I think, if I remember correctly, they even had your IC number.
Mm.
So when this person called me and told me that I had to appear before court for something, I was like, for what? And he said, okay, I'll call you back. And, you know, if you look at the number, it's the exact same number as the court. And it was. Mm. They managed to mirror the number of the court itself. So it's very scary. And I guess to a certain degree, especially if, you know, it may be if you're elderly and you may not necessarily pick up on some of these things, it's if it's convincing for us, it just may be a lot more confusing for them.
Yeah,
I think personally, the first few times I've encountered these calls as well, part of me was very inclined to believe them because like you two have mentioned, they sound so convincing. And then as time passes, you kind of pick up on what their tricks of the trade are and how they how they choose to scam you.
Yeah. I mean, dementia concerns or not, Professor Boyle's advice to seniors was to just not answer unsolicited calls and or emails from people they don't recognize. This will make it harder for them to be targeted, because we also, a lot of banks are very proactive now to alert you that they would never ask for your confidential information, such as your the security codes or even your IC number and all that. They would never ask for it through a phone call or through a text message.
Yeah.
So those things, you know, if you receive something from someone claiming to be a bank, but they're asking you for these kinds of confidential information. And by the way, the IC number is confidential information.
Yeah.
I think we give it out too freely.
Actually, yeah.
Yeah. So these kinds of things, you know, you should know that banks would never ask for it, or the tax department, for that matter, they would never be asking for it over the phone.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess, Professor Boyle said, we should just avoid picking up our phone, you know, any phone calls from numbers we don't recognize.
Yeah. And if something sounds too good to be true, it is.
Yes.
It is too good to be true, yeah. Well, we'll be talking about a completely different issue in our second story later. It's about sex education. So maybe, Kelly, you could just quickly run through our Twitter poll.
Yes, so we asked you on Twitter, should sex education be taught to children in schools? Your options are yes, no, only in secondary, or teach only abstinence. So you can join the conversation by tweeting us at BFM Radio, or you can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or call us at 03-7733-2900.
So that will be coming up after a few messages. But first, here's Don't Forget to Remember by the Bee Gees on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.